Well, good morning. Good to see you here today. It's nice to have this many people here on such a cold and snowy morning. We had some folks in first service. Matter of fact, here I want to take a selfie just to prove that we had somebody here. Okay, so everybody smile. Here, we'll do it over here too, so we get everybody in it. Come on, Caroline, smile. And then here over here with Tessa. And, there we go. I'll post those later, okay? Does everybody give me your permission to? I couldn't help but think about, I remember some years ago hearing a story about a preacher that was preaching at an old church out in the country. And one Sunday morning, just a big blizzard came blowing through and this terrible weather. He trudged his way to church. He got there. Only one person showed up. One old farmer showed up for church, and just him and the preacher. And when it was obvious nobody else was coming, the preacher said something. The farmer said, "You know, George, we could just cancel and pray, and we can go home." And the old farmer said, "Preacher," said, "suppose I go out in the field to feed my cattle, and only one shows up." He said, "You think I'm going to send him away hungry?" Well, preacher said, "Okay, I understand." And so preacher got up and he led the singing and he led the prayers and, you know, he served the old man communion and he gave him the sermon, every bit of it. And at the end, they had their benediction and they were leaving. The old preacher was at the door and the farmer came out. Said, "Preacher, I said that if one cow showed up, I would feed him. I didn't say I would dump the entire load." Okay. But there's enough people here, we're going to give you the whole thing, all right? And we're glad that you are here this morning. We've been talking about these fruits of the Spirit, who am I becoming? And today we're going to talk about self-control. Now think about this particular fruit of the Spirit, because it's really, really interesting. The key idea today is simply this: I have the power through Christ to control myself. Now that's a good promise, isn't it? And it is true. Can you say that with me? I have the power through Christ to control myself. Let's do it again. I have the power through Christ to control myself. The key verse comes from Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 13. It says, "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled," there's that fruit, "upright and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." One person has referred to this fruit of the Spirit of self-control as being the out-of-place fruit. Now think about this, that for just a moment, and what that means for all of us. Because all of the fruits of the Spirit, those that we've talked about, those that we're going to talk about in weeks to come, they all respond to how our relationship is with God. Okay, in other words, you have love, you know, understanding His love, accepting His love, and that horizontal understanding of His love enables us to love others. That vertical understanding of His love helps us to horizontally love others. Joy, you know, it's this kind of relationship and sharing joy with others. Peace that we talked about last week, it's the same kind of thing. The thing will be it'll be repeated as we talk about goodness and gentleness and faithfulness, all these other fruits of the Spirit. But this particular fruit of the Spirit, self-control, it seems out of place because it really doesn't have anything to do with my relationship with God or my relationship with other people. This characteristic of a follower of Jesus, this self-control, it's focused on me. It's focused on me. Instead of my relationships with others, instead of my relationship with God, it's about me. And as I exercise self-control, I mean, sometimes as we exercise that self-control, we may be the only person in the house. In fact, sometimes it's that hidden private moment when no one else is looking that we need self-control the most, right? I mean, think about it this way. I'll confess something to you and hopefully help you with your own life. My kids laugh at me, and my Arlene, she laughs at me also, or with me maybe. I'm laughing with them now, but for years, you know, for example, my wife is like, you know, she'll come in and she'll say, "Hey, do you want a Klondike bar?" And I'm like, you know, no, I really, you know, I shouldn't be eating that, and I'll turn it down. Or you know, you want a Little Debbie cake or something? I'm like, no, thanks, honey, you go ahead. But I had this habit of what I would do is I would turn things down like that because I really shouldn't be eating them. But then after everybody went to bed, I would help myself. And then I had this terrible habit of putting the wrapper or putting the package underneath the cushion of the couch. Just laziness, I know, right? But you just tuck it underneath the cushion of the couch, and every so often Arlene would find this little stash. You know, I'm like a gerbil or a hamster or something. And, you know, you should find, so, you know, where did these come from? And I'm like, Wilson, that's our dog. Wilson, did you put that under there? You know? And they would laugh, and they still laugh. And aren't we like that though? I mean, this is the fruit of the Spirit. This seems to be the out of place fruit. It's not about my relationship with God. Although when I'm able to exercise and grow in this fruit, I mean, God, my relationship with God is going to be enhanced in a great way. We'll see that in just a minute. Or it's not about you. It's about me. But my relationship with God, my relationship with others will either be hindered by my lack of this or enhanced by my mastering this. And folks, that's really important, because if we properly exercise this fruit of self-control, it's going to benefit us. It's going to benefit the people around us. Matter of fact, in some ways, this fruit of the Spirit is most important. Because with self-control and with us exercising self-control, the works of the flesh, the things of the world cannot overpower us. But if we don't have self-control, the things of this world, the elements of this, our society that are bad, they will overtake us and overcome us. Matter of fact, I don't know if you've heard this or not, the Greeks wanted, when they wanted to illustrate this fruit of the Spirit, self-control, they would build a statue of a man or a statue of a woman, and the person would be in perfect order and balance. And with that, that's the way they would depict self-control. A proper rendering of a perfect individual and the balance of the individual. Aristotle once said, quote, "I count him braver who overcomes his desires than him who conquers his enemies. For the hardest victory is the victory over self." Another philosopher said that if we don't overcome those animal urges, that we will be governed by something else, and that something else will produce what he called, quote, "a feverish state in the soul, a city of pigs which knows no limits." So when we're self-controlled, we can become what God wants us to be. But if we're not self-controlled, life can easily become a pigsty. I love the passage of Scripture, Ephesians chapter 5. Maybe you've read it. Maybe you remember this. It says, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." Do you know that verse is talking exactly about this idea of self-control? Okay? And it's real easy to focus on the wrong thing in this verse. It's easy to see this verse and just talk about how, you know, the drinking and alcohol are so bad, in my view they are. But you know, it's we can focus on that rather than on what he's telling us here that we need to put in its place. And the whole point of this passage is wrapped up in this idea of being controlled by the Spirit, of maintaining that kind of self-control, because the things of this world just entice us. You know, I mentioned my dog Wilson there a few minutes ago. Not too long ago, we were at Sam's Club, and I bought our dog a big box of dog treats, okay? And Arlene wanted me to get these little dog treats so that he could enjoy them in moderation. No, I got the big ones, okay? Our dog's a big dog. He's like 90 pounds. I wanted the big dog treats. So I bought them, and we had this container that we fill them up, and he's watching me in the kitchen put these bones in this container so that we can share one with him occasionally. And he was just sitting there like, whew, okay. So I filled it up, and I put the box away, and I put the container in the cabinet. And Wilson said to me, he talks. He said, "You got to be kidding me. I don't get one." So I took it back down, of course. I opened it, and I gave him one. And he took it on the carpet, and he's eating it. I took a second one, and I put it in my pocket. Okay? And then I actually took a third one, and I put it in my other pocket. And he saw me do this. Now, he finished the one that he had, and, you know, he's real good. He cleaned up every crumb off the carpet, and then he came in where I was, and I happened to be sitting on the couch, and he got up on the couch, and he laid down on the couch, and his nose was right there. And every time I would move, he was like, are you going to take it out? You know, and he was like driving me crazy. So finally I took it out. Okay, gave it to him, and he ate it. And then he came back, and of course I was on the end of the couch, so he came back on this end of the couch, and he laid his head right up on the armrest right next to my pocket, and he was just like waiting for the third one, you know. He knew it was there. Sometimes I think that's exactly the way we are when it comes to indulgence in our world, when it comes to self-control in our culture. You know, it's not about moderation. It's not about overcoming. It's not about being victorious in this way. It's just waiting on the next indulgence, the next treat, the next thing to come our way that we are enticed by. And a lot of times, it's not just about getting rid of or not doing something. It's about replacing that something with something else. Sometimes I think we're like Wilson. You see, to understand this passage, I think there's a few things that come to my mind right away. The first one is to understand the word yield, or as it says here, to be filled with the Holy, with the Spirit. In other words, to yield to Christ and the Spirit, His Spirit controlling our life. You see, that's what this is all about, because the Bible often refers to our body, when it refers to our bodies and sin in our bodies, it's created out of our choices and our giving in to what the Bible calls the things of the flesh. We act out by the stimulation of the nature of our sin in our lives. And to some degree, when we're talking about being self-control, it's all about understanding just the whole term of yielding, you know, of letting God in, of letting God lead. You know, God wants to be in our lives and driving with us down the highway, and we're just like cutting Him off and not yielding to His presence in our lives. And we need to do that, because as we understand yield, as we understand what it means to be filled with His presence, that's when we become more self-controlled. If you've studied this word, the word self-controlled in the old King James Version of the Bible, it's the word temperance. In other words, that we allow something else to take control of us. So when we yield to God, it's not just allowing God in, but it's allowing God to control our nature as well. You know, I don't know about you, but sometimes I think it's easy to say no. Other times it's hard to say no. You know, when Paul was talking about this, he talked about what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh. God did by sending His Son in the likeness of a sinful flesh to be a sin offering, he said. So that as we give up control to His Spirit, then we can be self-controlled. You know, there's this constant strife, this constant attack that's going on inside of us. Temptation, thoughts, and attitudes flow from us. God wants them to be godly based on a relationship with Him, but too often we need to remember what Jesus said when He said, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. So, in order for us to realize what it means to be filled with the Spirit, we have to understand this idea of yield. Secondly, we need to realize that this verse helps us with what to do and what not to do, with the do's and the don'ts. The don'ts: don't get drunk with wine, because it leads down a road that you don't want to go. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Be controlled by the Spirit. You know, allow your thoughts and actions to come out not of a life that is inebriated by the things of this world, but out of this wonderful experience that we have with the Holy Spirit living inside of us. You know, I love there's a couple of passages in the Old Testament in Proverbs. I want to share with you two Proverbs. And these two Proverbs are so beautiful. And the imagery there is so, so awesome. And if we will just accept these Proverbs, I've been told and I've been taught, and I think you would agree with me. You know, if we could just study Proverbs and be moved by what's said in Proverbs, and if we obey the word that's there, man, life would be so much better. Let me give you these two Proverbs. One comes from Proverbs 25, verse 28. The other one's Proverbs 16, verse 32. Look at these. First one, Proverbs 25, 28. Like a city whose walls are broken through is a person who lacks self-discipline or self-control. Now think about that, folks. If you study the Bible, you will know that the wall of a city was an important thing. Matter of fact, the only thing they had to protect them from invaders many times was the wall of the city, and being inside of the wall of the city. It offered comfort. It offered protection. It offered safety. And what is he saying here? He's saying that if you are a person that lacks self-control, you are like a city whose walls are broken down. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to have that kind of life. You know, this whole idea about being self-controlled, it's understanding that we're under God's control. And if I'm not under God's control, and if I'm giving into the flesh, I'm like a city whose walls are broken through. That's a person who lacks wisdom. So what's he describing here? He's describing a community. He's describing a city that is vulnerable. He's describing a group of people that are sitting ducks. If you read the history of Israel, you'll see that there were times when the city wall was down. And it was that time when they were most vulnerable to their enemies around them. So let me tell you something, folks. That's how important this is. Is to have this kind of self-control. Not controlled by the flesh, but controlled by the Spirit. Not giving in to the things of this world. Not to be drunk with wine that leads to debauchery. But to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And if we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we will desire things that are of God. And if we don't have that, he's saying that we are vulnerable to the things of this world. I had a fellow one time. I didn't know him well, but I knew him, you know, pretty well. And one time he was in my presence, and Arlene was there, and Arlene needed something. I can't remember exactly what it was. And Arlene said, "Can I use your phone?" I said, "Sure." And I gave her my phone, and she walked off and was using my phone, and this person said, "You just give her your phone?" I said, "Sure, why not?" He said, "Oh, I would never let my wife just have my phone." I said, dude, is there something there that you don't want her to see? You see, what kind of life are we living here? I mean, if we're living a life where we have to hide stuff, where we have to live in the dark because of the things that we're participating in and doing, you know, if we don't have any more self-control than that, how can we ever think that we're gonna provide a place of safety, not only for ourselves, but for our family and for our community and the people that we love and care about? If you are not working on this beautiful fruit of self-control, then your life is like a city with a wall that is down. Here's the second one. I just think this is beautiful. He says, better a patient person than a warrior, one with self-control than one who takes a city. You know, that this imagery is a little bit harder to understand, I think, but I think the point is that we need to be a person who is successful in self-control, because when we win that victory, we win a greater victory, right? It could be said that the one who maintains self-control keeps the boundaries of his life, the walls, safe and secure, and it's an effective defense against the influences of outside forces. But we would look at this and think, you know what? What would be better than being a warrior? Than being a victorious warrior? But he said one with self-control is better than one who takes a city. Now, I don't know about you, but I realize how important this is. So you know what? Just in a nutshell, I think we just have to understand that we need to let the Holy Spirit help us. That's what God is saying here. And if you pull up any news feed, if you look at any newspaper, if you read anything online about the things that are going on in this world, if you read the stories about people, most often what you see in those stories are about people who have lost their self-control. Isn't that true? Almost any story that you read in the news, whether it's about assault or murder or abuse or drunkenness or some kind of sexual crime or lies or embezzlement, on and on the list goes. The common denominator is what? A loss of self-control. So folks, for you and I as believers, and because we understand that we're not exempt from these temptations, we're not exempt from sliding down that slippery slope to a life that is decadent and nothing that God wants us to have. Since we know that, shouldn't we like ramp up our desire and our attempt and of our allowing the Holy Spirit to empower us to be who God wants us to be? Folks, this is the key. To allow the Holy Spirit to change us and to give us strength and to be there in our moment of weakness. When he says, don't get drunk with wine, but which leads to debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. The key there is not that you give up something. The key there is that you replace it with this beautiful thing called the Holy Spirit living inside of you. You see, because for many of us, we think that self-control is simply about discipline. Discipline to stop doing things. Discipline to not participate with things that destroy us, or discipline to do the things that build us up. But folks, that's not enough. We have to replace it with something else. Just the other day, I got online, and my nephew that lives up in Boston, I think I mentioned him to you before, he posted this picture of him online. I should have put it up here if I'd have thought about it. And you know, he's like standing like this. He's at work, and man, he's got this massive arms. Just, you know, he's like in his mid-30s, 37, 38 now. He's just massive. And I commented on his picture, and I said, Jeff, man, your arms are incredible. I said, my wife would love it if I had arms like that. And he commented on that, and he said, Uncle John, all you need to do is to get 2 40-pound dumbbells. And he said, just start hammering those arms. And I came back with the greatest retort ever on Facebook. I said, two 40-pound dumbbells? Well, I am a two 40-pound dumbbell. Does that count? And you know what he said? He wrote me back and he said, no, John, it's all about discipline. So I wrote him back and I said, oh, just be quiet, you kid. It's true, isn't it? It's true. If we don't realize what we have at our disposal, what God has given to us, how can we ever, ever overcome this and become the kind of people that God wants us to be? Because let me tell you something, folks. In my opinion, this is the most important fruit in the list of the fruits of the Spirit. All the others are about, what about God and our relationship with God or our relationship with each other? This one is all about you. And for the most part, self-control is the fertilizer that'll cause all the other fruits to grow in your life. Think about it. Can you be loving the way God calls you to love if you don't have self-control? Can you experience joy as God wants you to experience in life and in your relationship with Him if you don't have self-control? Can you be at peace with God and with others and with yourself if you don't have self-control? You see, this fruit is absolutely crucial in order for all of the others to grow. So allow the Holy Spirit to help that fruit to grow in your life. You know, when Jesus Christ comes back, the Bible calls Him our blessed hope. And when Jesus Christ comes back, our blessed hope, everything that He has promised will become a reality. He's told us that we're going to have a new body. We're going to live in this new place, perfect place called heaven. He's going to be there, and there won't be any need for any son because His Son, our Savior, will be there. We will be alive for all of eternity in heaven. And in that place, self will no longer rule. But until that day comes, here we are, in this body, in this time, struggling with this fruit of self-discipline and hoping that it'll grow in our lives. You see, folks, remaining in Jesus Christ today, relying on His Holy Spirit inside of us, can allow us to overcome the world, Jesus says, and to overcome the flesh. And the only way that self-control is even possible is for us to allow God to be in control of our lives. Let's allow Him to do that and to be that for us each and every day. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I just pray this morning that You would empower us, Lord, through Your Holy Spirit to appreciate and understand this beautiful fruit, this fruit of self-control. And God, may we recognize that it is a different kind of fruit. It's not a fruit about our relationship with You or about our relationship with other people. It's just ourselves. And while other people, Lord, might see in us self-control, probably, Lord, all of us realize how much more we need it. So I just pray, Father, that You'd help us to obey Your word, not to desire things of this world, things of the flesh, like alcohol and things that lead to debauchery. But Lord, may we want more than anything else to live that controlled life based on Your Spirit living inside of us. So Father, help us to understand what it means to yield, to give up control of our lives, to allow Your Spirit, Father, to guide us. Guide our thoughts, our motives, and our actions. And then Lord, I pray that these two beautiful word pictures that we see in Proverbs, that Lord, they would teach us how we need to be when it comes to this area of self-control. That God, if we are not self-controlled, then our life is like a city whose wall has been broken through. And we are so vulnerable, Lord, to the to the evil in our culture. But Father, may we also know that self-control is a better thing to desire. And God, may our desire for this beautiful fruit grow and mature in our lives more and more each and every day. And Lord, as we sing this awesome song together about your wonderful grace, we pray, Lord, that grace would empower us, Father, to appreciate your love, to experience your joy, to understand your peace, but Lord, to make a commitment within ourselves to live a self-controlled life that leads to all of this and more. In Jesus' holy name we pray.